Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That much. Oh, baby, you should go and love yourself.
Yeah.
And if you think, that I'm still holding on to something, you should go and love yourself.
Americans, they want to do the right thing. But if someone taps a keg and cranks up the Lynyrd Skynyrd, all bets are off.
Since the return of a stay on the moon, she listens like spring and she talks like June.
And those heavy days in June when love became an act.
Costa simmers on the stove in June.
Rise and shine, sleepyhead.
Rise and shine.
I'm not really feeling up to this today.
Nope, not really feeling up to it.
Really?
Not today.
Why not?
Everything's so doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom?
The whole world is going crazy.
Sounds like you need a
pep talk.
I don't need a pep talk.
Well,
you're getting one.
We're going to wake up.
Get it together.
One foot in front of the other.
Put a smile on your face.
And we're going to make a difference.
Okay, guys, it's showtime.
Good morning. It's the wake up for Monday, June 1st.
Forgot it was June already.
Yeah.
A lot going on. I got distracted and June snuck up on me.
I know. My son's birthday is tomorrow, June 2nd.
Wow.
So, still trying to figure it out. I've been really bad about plans. I don't know if I thought I was going to wake up today and everything was going to be different, but it is not the case.
Here's the good news. You don't need to clean your home. Whatever you do,
right.
You don't need to clean your home.
Right. We did a lot of cleaning, though. But yeah. Today's a weird day. I had trouble sleeping last night because I am honestly at a loss for words this morning. I know what you're saying. That's never happened before, but it's true. So bear with us this morning as we kind of try and navigate through everything. Right?
Yeah, pretty wild. You know, we'll talk about what how we spent the last 48 hours, but I was sort of in my own little world and had a great weekend that I'll tell you guys about, and sort of coming back yesterday and kind of seeing, oh my God, look at all the things that went on all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it's heavy, and it's here we are again, and it's so many people feeling helpless, and so many people, you know, repeating the same thing that, you know, here we are again. We're talking about reporting on similar things that you know, we've seen over the years, and it's frustrating, and especially on what almost feels like the tail end of this pandemic thing, which is something most of us have never dealt with anything close to that. So it's such a strange combination of all these things, and you know, it you know, as if the pandemic didn't make you feel helpless enough, and
right?
And we've got all the, you know, just the unrest now, and it's it is a lot.
We've talked about how going back and seeing things that were maybe filmed or happened a few months before coronavirus started made us feel uneasy. And, it's interesting to see people so close together during these protests. I don't think I've seen people that close together in a long time.
Yeah, it is, right. Large groups of people. And It's a very different feeling watching the large groups of people have such a wonderful time in Lake of the Ozarks. I mean, yeah. Say what you want. Yeah. Say what you want about what they were doing down there. It kind of looked fun. And this is a very, very different situation. So
yes.
It's so many things run through your mind. But yeah, one of them is all just the pandemic stuff. So it's tough to process. And the good news is we're not even going to try to make sense of any of it here because it's not what we do. But, man. Yeah, I don't know. Thinking about people, especially people, you know, in the middle of it, dealing with it all face to face, and we'll try to be somewhat of an escape and just kind of do what we do today.
All right, your forecast is brought to you by Ashley Home Store. This is home today. Some sun and a high of 84, close to 90 tomorrow, 91 on Wednesday, and then it looks like some storms kind of cool us down just a little bit for the weekend. Right now, 63 downtown. Lance and Brand has a look at traffic.
Well, over the weekend, we had some work.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
Big game-changing events occurred on this day. One of them happened 82 years ago in 1938 with a publication that kind of has changed not only movies but comics as well, because 82 years ago the Man of Steel debuted in Action Comics.
Good song.
Spider-Man?
Superman first appeared in Action Comics, and in 2014, an issue of that original Action Comics sold for $3.2 million, becoming the highest price ever paid for a single comic book.
Man, how are you celebrating today, Kevin?
I'm looking at it going, man, the resale value on this is phenomenal.
I know, your G.I. Joes, you made a lot of money, but not like
not
that.
Not on that, no.
Yes. I wish somebody would have told me that the week after I spent all that money on Elvis's bedazzled jockstrap. Comics worth way more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that, you know, kind of became a game changer, because when Superman hit, you know, shelves and people started reading it and became very popular, it became the radio show, then it became, you know, the TV show, then the movies, and then from there everything else, just, you know, everybody else saw that this is, hey, we could, you know, do something with these characters, and these characters became even more popular, and then other superheroes were created, all starting, you know, spawning from Superman, and then we have the Marvel Universe, we have the DC Universe, and all those things now. So,
and it's weird that 100 years ago, 90 years ago, whatever, there weren't superheroes.
Right.
Kids grew up without the idea of Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. I mean, it is strange to think about.
Yeah, and it's weird, too, to think that there's college courses taught about, yeah, you know, comic books and about comic book characters and all that. So, yeah, 1938 is when it all happened on this day. And then 40 years ago, something big happened that changed cable television when a certain broadcasting company debuted. Any guesses?
CNN.
Here's the initial beginning of the first broadcast on CNN.
Stand by. Ready, three. Take three. Mic here. Three. Start to slow zoom in a little bit. Roll tape. Take three. Ready, camera three. One center up.
Good evening. I'm David Walker.
And I'm Lois Hart. Now here's the news. President Carter has arrived in Fort Wayne, Indiana for a brief visit with civil rights leader Vernon Jordan.
Can you imagine saying, here's the news? and on CNN?
Yeah.
We know. Anyway.
Different times.
Yeah, you know, it's weird, too, that no real big, you know, hullabaloo, no real big, this is CNN. That all came later. It was just, you know, we're on 24/7, here's the news.
And you see that, too, like every now and then when ESPN has an anniversary or they go back to some really early footage, it's bare bones. I mean, there's no There's very little production value to it at all.
Well, and all those channels, you know, at the advent of cable television, that it was unfathomable that there could be one channel that was just news, one channel that was
right.
just sports, one channel that was just music. It didn't make sense to people at all. And, man, it worked out, that whole cable thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now you've got a fishing channel. You've got a home decorating channel.
Yeah.
You've got everything imaginable. But at the beginning of it, it was like news, sports. There's no way. And now here we are.
Some game-changing events that happened on June 1st back in the day.
All right, Lance Hildebrand, it's a Monday. It's June. Illinois has opened further. Any differences you're...
Y98, it is The Wake Up with Jen, Tim, Kevin, and Lance.
This weekend, I traveled over into Illinois.
Hey!
I know. This weekend, my friend a couple last week said, hey, Eckert's is open for pick your own strawberries. We feel like this would be a good way for all of us to get together, but stay apart. You know, we've all, a group of friends, we're all kind of like on the same page as in terms of social distancing. So we're like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So what Eckert's is doing, you used to just be able to show up, I guess, but now they have certain time slots. So you sign up for a time slot, you buy your ticket, it's like $3. And then each hour time slot kind of fills up. So we showed up there. Eckert's just did a great job. The strawberry fields are off to the side, kind of away from the general store. So you have to go in, wash your hands, wear a mask. And then the strawberry fields are so massive that we all hung out, but kept a good distance from one another and picked strawberries, which I have never done. So that was fun, and that was really the only fun thing we did all weekend, because we cleaned out and totally reorganized and revamped our garage. I painted the entire garage, and I can barely move this morning.
Whoa!
so sore from painting.
Roller?
Yes.
Okay.
Roller and paintbrush. And towards the end,
what do you guys have, like a 7-car?
No. We can't even fit one car in our garage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Stuff in there?
No, even if you got all of the stuff out, it's a tight squeeze. Like, it's an old school St. Louis garage that doesn't leave, you know. Maybe if we bought a Mini Cooper or like a Fiat,
gotcha.
We could fit it in there. But yeah, Nora helped me at the beginning, which I came to regret at the end, because she was real generous with the paint at the beginning. And at the very end, I had one little last corner to get in the top right-hand corner of the garage. And I mean, I was scraping. I was sticking my finger in the paint can and like spreading paint, because there was nothing left. But we did it.
Nice.
We did it, and it looks legit. I mean, this garage was a real pain in the butt.
So I'm thinking just basic white on the inside, is that right? Or
no, gray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you need a color that hides the dirt, but also can't be too dark, so that, you know, you can't have like a dark color, but you don't want
and
a real light color.
Gray.
It was dirt gray.
Yeah. And did you celebrate with a bunch of strawberries? How long will there be strawberries in your home from that day of picking strawberries?
There are so many strawberries. A lot, but they're so ripe. Like, they're the ripest strawberries I've ever had. I think I'm gonna have to freeze some of these pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like at their peak ripeness. But yeah, it was a good like physically exhausted this weekend, but it was good.
Yeah,
and then Kev, you went out in Illinois too, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it was nice. We walked down from our house. It's about 4 miles down to just the main street of Grafton, and looked at the loading dock. Really crowded, but everybody separated. So we were like, okay, we're not going to eat here. Then we were going to go to the Whole Scoop to get some ice cream. And we're like, a lot of people here, so we're just not going to eat there. So we walked then to the Aries Winery in the Sky Tour. And that was really a neat experience. We've got our year pass, so we can ride at any time. And they took our temperature. Then we waited, and they won't let you go in the little, you know, those little gondolas. Those are closed, but you can sit on the little benches. And so we all sat on the bench, and they separate every other bench, you know, and then we went up, and then they clean your bench and you wait, and then you get another, you get the other opposite bench that, and you sit down, you go all the way down. It was really, really, I mean, almost, I felt almost a little overprotective, but it felt good, you know, like they were really making sure that there was enough distance. In fact, you can't even drive up to the winery because they've converted a lot of the parking spaces into outdoor eating. And that's what was really nice to see, because the weather was so nice. The place was, it's weird to say packed, but it was a lot of people enjoying the outdoors at a safe distance. And it was just neat to see the town, you know, open again. It was neat to see, you know, the main street with people driving, you know, keeping a safe distance, but, you know, enjoying Grafton. So it felt really, really good for the first time in a long time. I wouldn't say that, you know, we're past any of this, you know, we're still kind of doing the slow reopen, but it was just good. It was a good feeling that these businesses are slowly coming back, and it felt more normal than it has in a long time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the next weekend, because I felt like when St. Louis County started to slowly reopen, we'd go out, we'd find some place on a Saturday that was open enough, and then you'd go back the next weekend and it would be mobbed. Like you said, too many people to hang out at a safe distance. So it'll be interesting to see how Illinois looks through the month of... your forecast brought to you by Ashley Home Store. This is home. Another beautiful day. I mean, where you're going to have beautiful weather today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. We warm up into the 90s, but today we'll see a high of 84. 64 now in Lance Hildebrand with traffic.
On the Illinois side, 5570 eastbound after 157. May have a stall through there, police. You can let your head down.
Y98, it's the Wake Up with Jen, Tim, Kevin, and Lance this morning. Waking up to some sun, 60s, and it looks like upper to mid 80s this afternoon.
So I didn't talk too much about it last week because I felt weird about it, but I went down to Fayetteville, Arkansas this weekend and did some comedy shows. So this comedy club decided to open up and, you know, with all kinds of restrictions, but they figured it out. And I had forgotten, you know, I had a bunch of shows booked that I completely forgot. You know, as they started canceling one by one, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, my calendar's just open. But I had booked this a while ago and not thought about it. And the guy called me up a few weeks ago and he said, hey, I think we're going to try to open up under the restrictions and you're on the calendar. Do you want to come? And I felt weird about it. But I also, as you guys know, have been just dying to do stand up. And I've just felt, you know, it's something I need, something I'm used to. It's my favorite thing to do, and haven't been able to do it. So I was like, yeah, if you're going to give this a shot, I'll be there. And no opportunity to do stand up here at all. And there were some open mics kind of going on, but particularly even an open mic with just one microphone and people passing it around. So I haven't been on stage at all. So I went from not being on stage to walking up and, you know, working, doing full sets at this club. And
did people show up?
People showed up. So they were could only be at, I think, 33% capacity.
Okay.
And the club did a fantastic job. So the way they loaded people in, they were very careful. Every staff member was wearing a mask. And then the tables, it was really funny to walk into a comedy club and just see the tables completely spread out. You know, 'cause you're used to them just being so on top of each other. And But they loaded people in, and so you know, obviously you only sat with people at your own party. Everything was very, very spaced out. There was a tape blocked off on the stage telling the comics where they could go, because if the comic crossed a certain line on the stage, they were closer than, you know, 6 to 8 feet from somebody.
Yeah.
So we had to stay within the thing. And then the other tricky thing, microphones. So they got, there were three wireless mics. Everybody had their own that, you know, was completely sanitized. And then you just hung on to your own mic. So typically, you know, you shake the guy's hand, you hand him the microphone, the whole thing. We would just be like, here's the next guy, and walk off. And then the next guy would walk. And there were only the club owner goes up and welcomes everybody. And then there were just the two comics. But yeah, we just had our mics the whole time. It was such a different, weird, different thing. All the process and stuff. Because you go back to that sort of autopilot of how you do, you know, I'm going to shake this guy's hand, and I'm going to do this and here, you know, and you know, oh, I'm going to hug all these people afterwards and take pictures and shake hands and all that stuff you can't do. But
did you have to wipe down your own mic then?
Well, I was the only one who used it the whole time.
Right, but then afterwards, like, do you just leave it on a counter and say,
so
like, pick this up in 3 days? What do you do?
I put it in a cup and laid it there, and then there's a whole process. The guy was explaining it to me, and we did it that night, too, is you spray, there's a spray, you put it on the rag, and then you do that, but then it takes 10 minutes to actually be completely infected or something, so hence he got those wireless mics. So he was trying to dial those in the whole time, but it was a really positive experience because the crowds who showed up obviously hadn't been out in a long time, and this is their first time seeing, you know, live entertainment, so they were just delighted to be there. The club owner went up to welcome everybody and I guess tried out some jokes, which were disastrous, and they loved it.
Wow.
They were just happy to be there. So I was like, all right, this is gonna be okay. I was freaked out. It's the longest I've gone without doing stand-up since I started, and it's just a weird time. So
yeah,
it was people could not have been nicer. They were excited, you know, the comics were all excited, and it was so just therapeutic and felt so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then being able to talk with people just about the, you know, doing jokes about the pandemic and this shared experience that we've all just sort of had was cool. And then afterwards, see, you know, like wanting, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, one of the best parts is talking to people afterwards and them coming up and thinking and telling you, you know, what they liked or what their, you know, who their favorite comic is.
Yeah, you get feedback.
Right.
So it was a strange thing to be like, I'm not going to do that. But we sort of, you know, outside from a distance, we're kind of waving to people. And it was, you know, they could talk from a distance and people had masks on and stuff. So it felt very safe and was so encouraging for me, because I think since even a few weeks into this thing, there's been this dread of, is this ever coming back? And
right.
What is it going to look like? And how different would it be? And this really just felt great. I mean, even small numbers, and they were all spread out. And, you know, comedy's supposed to be with people right on top of each other, and comedy needs to be this and that. And these shows felt real, and it felt like, okay, we can figure this out. Even if it's not back to exactly, you know, what we all want it to be immediately, it's still, the audience got a lot out of it. Certainly the comics got a lot out of it. It was, you know, once the thing got going, it felt like a real show. It felt like everything was going to be all right, and you forgot about that stuff, even though, again, everybody was very, very safe.
That's so great, because I remember when you first got this invite, you're like, I don't know, is this a good idea? Is it terrible? Am I going to show up to this club and no one's going to be there? So it's good that they seem to be figuring it out, and I'm glad you had a good show, because on Friday, I didn't realize until the end of the show that this was the weekend you were going for your first comedy show, and we didn't laugh a whole lot. I felt like we left you on shaky ground.
That's true. That was the bit. The last 2 hours of the show, it was as if you guys texted each other and were like, hey, just don't laugh at anything he says.
Yeah. And then Tim's like, well, I'm about to hit the road and do some shows. I was like, whoops, sorry.
So I had 5 hours to think about that before I then, on that drive, revamped some of my comedic approaches. I just led with, here are the things my co-host didn't laugh at. But tell me what you guys think. And Arkansas loved it.
Entertainment Jamaica is coming up in just a few minutes. Kylie Jenner inflating her numbers to be a billionaire? Oh, we'll tell you about it in the next few minutes on 198.
gonna love you like me.
The Schmig.
Entertainment Schmig.
Now that's entertainment.
On the Wake Up with Jen and Tim.
Brought to you by Club Fitness. Club Fitness continues to lift local. We are stronger together. We will get through this together. A little local Schmig over the weekend. KMOV anchors actually anchored the CBS Weekend News. Samantha Jones anchored on Saturday and Steve Savard anchored on Sunday. So nice. the whole country got a chance to see both of them.
They do a good job. I wonder, so do you think they're alternating? Do you think they're just having different local CBS affiliates?
Why did they do that?
It sounds like they're just kind of rotating and giving people a chance. They talked about how the country will get a chance to see what St. Louis is all about.
Ooh, they're looking for the next Russ Mitchell. That's what they're doing.
Russ Mitchell, who
was from St. Louis. Yeah, and then did national news for CBS for a pretty long time.
Man, I would be so nervous. Like, it's the exact same thing they do, but I'd be so nervous.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody was like, oh, by the way, the show's national. Like, it's you just do the same thing. I'd be so nervous. Savard's a bolder man than I.
Let's talk a little bit about Kylie Jenner. Last year, we kind of eye-rolled when Forbes said that she was the youngest self-made billionaire ever. And then on Friday, they took it away. They posted an article saying Kylie and her mom, Kris Jenner, spun a web of lies, including filing tax returns. Actually, they say the tax returns that she gave Forbes were faked to make it look like the company's revenue was 2 to 3 times higher than it really was.
Whoa!
Her actual net worth, just under $900
million. Oh, so I think when it was originally reported, I read that she filed fake tax returns and potentially would be in trouble. But you're saying she legitimately did those, but then lied to the media.
It sounds like she maybe just gave fake tax returns to Forbes. But it'll be interesting to see if they, you know, investigate and see if her actual tax returns are the same.
That makes way more sense than the first thing. I think, Kylie Jenner's not the one who's looking at her account and going, what if we fudge some numbers here and here? You know what I mean?
They're saying her mom maybe, you know, was behind this.
Wow. So sure.
If this is true, that means Mark Zuckerberg holds the Zuckerberg holds the title of youngest self-made billionaire. He did it at age 23. She has until this August to catch him.
Wow, that does sound like something that they would come up with, that Kris Jenner would wake up and be like, well, she's close. What if we just launched the story? So, okay.
Yeah. Baby Yoda. I'm sorry. Some people are going to argue with me.
The child.
His name isn't Baby Yoda, but we all call him Baby Yoda from The Mandalorian. So adorable. Kevin tried to buy one and pass it off to his wife as a Mother's Day gift. Everyone knows he just bought it for himself because Baby Yoda's adorable. Some early designs for Baby Yoda in The Mandalorian have been released. Not as cute.
No.
You have to look at them at Y98.com. There's one where he looks like just an old man. And there's another one where he's kind of E.T.-ish. I don't know. They're all pretty interesting. And I think they went with I think they made the right choice going with the adorable Baby Yoda. Oh, celebrities and more celebrities and their problems. You know, Kylie Jenner, poor Kylie Jenner, not really a billionaire. And now David Beckham and Posh Spice. So they've always been concerned about security, but apparently another soccer midfielder was robbed at knife point at his mansion recently. So now they want to build an escape tunnel at their home. It would link their 9-bedroom mansion, $8 million home.
When you point out that a soccer midfielder got robbed, it sounds like he was in the middle of a game. Like he was on the field. After your shorts, they don't have pockets. That's what I picture. Give me your shin guards. All right, go ahead.
So an underground passage linking their house to their luxury car garage. By the way, this house, 9 bedrooms, $8 million, tennis court, treehouse, fire pit, floor-to-ceiling windows, and plunge pool. What's that?
A plunge pool?
Yeah, what's a plunge pool?
I have no idea. Jen's like, I need to get one of these.
Right.
Find out.
Yeah, I think it's just like the inflatable pool you got on Amazon.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I think that's just
the
another
same.
Name for it. Okay. They've got the same thing you guys have.
Have you seen the new Jerry Seinfeld special?
No.
Well, he does this plunge out of a helicopter to open the show into a river, but at the end of the show, they show him practicing plunging into a pool. So I wonder if that's what they're talking about. Pool.
I mean, I've done the Nestea plunge before.
No, this is like from a high up, I guess on the diving board that he goes into the plunge pool and jumping off the helicopter. He's maybe, I don't know, 35 feet up, 30 feet up, something like that, probably.
So it's probably something like that deep, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's what it is. It's a deep enough pool to do that kind of stuff.
And then he comes to the surface and says, what's the deal with plunge pools?
That's Entertainment Schmig. More online at 198.com. More Schmig at 840. And Lance Hildebrand right now. Plunging into your traffic.
Northbound 50.
Y98, it is the Wake Up with Jen and Tim and Lance and me, Kevin. And I want to thank Dave. We were talking about a plunge pool because the Beckhams are talking about their estate and trying to dig a tunnel underneath to their garage. And they have a plunge pool. And we were speculating that it was something for a giant leap where you could practice, like, you know, the Jerry Seinfeld plunging into something deep. No, it's totally not at all. Dave said that he had gone to St. Lucia and every little suite had a plunge pool nearby, and it's basically just a little pool where you can get your feet wet or get yourself, you know, a little bit wet. It's almost like a baby pool, you know?
Must be nice, Dave.
Not quite. It's kind of like what we have on the top of our building. It's shallower and more compact than a traditional pool. They say people usually use it for aquatic exercise, hydrotherapy, and relaxation. And it's more cost-effective.
I've been looking for a place for my aquatic exercise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My backyard's not cutting it.
No.
But like that pool, we always joked about the pool on top of the building, but apparently we were on trend.
Yeah.
Because this plunge pool is like, I don't know. Our building was ahead of its time.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Speaking of ahead of its time, if you're anything like me, you've been hearing a lot, especially over the weekend, about this SpaceX thing. And you've had no idea what it was and thought to yourself, I need to research this because I just smile and nod when people talk about it.
Did you research it? Because I still don't really know.
I did some reading. I got some broad strokes, so I'm here for it. Here's the deal. SpaceX just launched from Cape Canaveral, Florida, Saturday afternoon. It was delayed for weather, but it went out. It was great. It was a big deal. And here's what's cool. It's the first time astronauts have launched from U.S. soil since 2011. Would you have thought that?
It's been that long?
Wow.
I feel like I don't know. I just assumed they were going up more often because every award show, you're just like, here's those astronauts.
But they might be going up from somewhere else. To go to the International Space Station?
I guess that's the case. I don't know. But there have been
I love how we screwed up information about the plunge pool and then we really dove into like misinformation with space?
Right.
I don't know.
Since 2011, the first time, and it's the first time that a private company has put someone in orbit.
Yes.
SpaceX is Elon Musk's company. And he said it is the first step on a journey towards a civilization on Mars.
What?
Wow.
Now, these guys, I don't think that's what these guys are doing right now. I think we're a ways away from that, I would imagine. I've seen some movies. Seems like things get a little chaotic up in Mars. But I guess that's the goal.
Yeah, but I having watched some of the pre-launch stuff and the actual spaceship and then their spacesuits, it is a little more futuristic.
What are their spacesuits like?
It's been 9 years.
They're just more streamlined. Maybe that's it. They look a little bit more Hollywood. Maybe that's the way to describe it. They're not the standard ones we're used to seeing. They're not the man on the moon ones we're used to seeing our astronauts wear.
Elon Musk's SpaceX suit is like a tuxedo for the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah.
They're more Elon Musk-y.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. They're very musky.
So these guys took off. They played AC/DC's Back in Black. That's what the astronauts listen to.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
Because we're back, you get it.
And keep in mind, the one guy's from St. Louis.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
What did you just say?
St. Anne, I think.
Yeah, Bob Behnken. He's one of the guys who went up on that SpaceX flight. He's from St. Anne, went to Pattonville High School.
What?
I didn't know that.
No.
You didn't think you could get any more into this SpaceX launch.
Let me be clear. Until about an hour ago, I knew almost nothing about this. I knew Elon Musk was involved, but I didn't know anything. And now I find out this guy's from St. Louis. Oh,
yeah, went to Wash U. Yeah.
Wow, he went to Wash U and Pattonville? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man.
B-E-H-N-K-E-N. Bob Behnken. Yeah, 49 years old.
B-O-B Bob. So they went up. The thing takes off. 5 minutes later, they hit orbit, and then 19 hours to reach the space station. And they did a little live stream yesterday.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Is that how it sounded?
I went to Pattonville.
Was that? Yeah. I was going to say, that doesn't sound like Bob.
Yeah. Go Panthers.
I don't know what Pattonville is. It's probably not the Panthers.
Pirates.
Oh, is it? Okay, go Pirates. And then they docked on the space station, and everything's going great so far. They're all pretty excited. So then they show, there's footage, you can see them docking. I mean, they send a rocket up there, it goes up and it just connects to the space station, and then they're meeting other people in space. It's wild. You can see all the astronauts are like, hey, welcome to the space station. It's so weird.
No.
I'm going to start following. I didn't know anything, and I think I'm going to get daily updates on this thing.
Okay. This has been Space Chatter.
And it's coming. It's a new daily segment every day. We're going to see if we can get old Bob on the phone one of these days.
Hey, I prefer Space Chatter over Murder Hornet Minute.
There's plenty of room for both.
The Wake Up on 198.
It's true, I'm a sucker for you. Sports
Chatter! Hey, how about an actual event in the sports world that took place over the weekend? NASCAR race yesterday at Bristol. Brad Keselowski was your winner at Bristol yesterday in the world of NASCAR.
Hey, Lance, so, before you continue, when will they start adding crowds to NASCAR? Do you know?
No, I'd have to dig into that up and get a little more research on that. Off the top of my head, I have not heard any dates. But I'm sure they're playing it by ear as things go along further and deeper into the season. But I don't have a specific date handy, no.
Just curious. Yeah, I was wondering. Because, they've run, 6 or 7 races already, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, last week it was they were at a point where they had 4 races in 14 days. So that's probably, we're probably, 5 events in under 20 days. So, yeah, it'll be interesting, and I think it is with all these leagues kind of reformulating all their ideas as far as how to resume play. Not a lot of details on this one, but there's a report at least of a target date for the NBA to start resuming play. They're looking at maybe July 31st to start up play once again. But again, not a lot of details about how it will be, where it will be, although it seems to be the leading option at this point is doing that what they call bubble league in Orlando at Disney World. Some of the details are trickling out, and then again, in some leagues you're getting a little more detail, like the NHL says that if/when play resumes, the NHL would the players would be tested daily for the coronavirus. The league estimates that may be as many as 35,000 COVID-19 tests to make it through the playoffs. And NHL Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly said that one person testing positive for COVID-19 would not necessarily mean another pause for the NHL, since testing every day would, in theory, help to avert an outbreak.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, of course. Pretty interesting.
If somebody told me that all sports would be canceled except for NASCAR, I'd be like, what did I do wrong? What did I do to deserve this?
I watched a sporting event that wasn't really a sporting event over the weekend. I kind of like laughed about it. It was ESPN's Peloton All-Stars. It's basically a bunch of athletes on Peloton bikes competing against each other. But guess what? It was better than no sports. And St. Louis tie, by the way. Colleen Quigley, who is, she went to Nerinx. Her latest goal was the Summer Olympics, which have now been postponed. She competes in the steeplechase. She crushed all of the women. Crushed all of the women on this bike. And then as far as the men, it was Matt Grievers, who's an Olympic swimmer. He beat Gordon Hayward from the NBA and Booger McFarland, former football player. Oh, and Rory McIlroy, who apparently owns a Peloton and finished fourth.
Huh.
Sorry.
Again, what did I do to deserve it?
COVID-19 pay cuts and fewer events have led to a new number one on the Forbes highest paid athletes list. He's never been at the top of the heap. 38-year-old Roger Federer, so a tennis player, tops the list. He made just over $106 million this past year, but here's the interesting breakdown. Event prize money, he only made $6 million. The other $100 million came from endorsements. I want his agent.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
Wow.
Number two on the list was Cristiano Ronaldo. Number three was Lionel Messi. So it's good to be a tennis player or a soccer player. Number five was LeBron James. Tiger Woods came in at number eight, and Tom Brady came in at number 21 on the list.
Wow. Isn't that crazy? I mean, we think it doesn't get any bigger than LeBron James, and it does.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
the whole rest of the world.
Yeah. Interesting, too. We talked about Major League Baseball last season and the proposal that the owners, that the major leagues itself, Major League Baseball, had come up with that proposed for the folks at the high end of the pay scale as much as an 80% pay cut. Well, you know the players are going to come back with their proposal. And the report is, and there's a lot of detail here, and it's pretty fascinating. Players have counter-offered no more pay cuts than what they've already agreed to. And the owners have proposed an 82-game schedule. The players have proposed a 114-game schedule featuring more doubleheaders. That's going old school. Opening day would be this month, June 30th. They got a lot of details to work out to make that happen. The regular season would end on Halloween Day, October 31st. The World Series would extend past Thanksgiving. Wow, interesting. More detail to this proposal. Overall, the major league players over the course of a season, everybody together, make $4 billion. With the pay cuts, the Major League Baseball that the teams have proposed, that would be cut to $1.2 billion from $4 billion. Players' proposal would only cut salaries to $2.8 billion. And at worst, the players would get a 30% pay cut at the most. They also, the players, the Major League Players Association, have proposed an expanded postseason. The owners did this too, of 10 to 4, increasing from 10 teams in the postseason to 14 teams. And what's really interesting is the players' proposal not only applies that to 2020, but also to 2021 as well.
Huh.
So the players are trying to expand the playoffs beyond the season. And the thing at the bottom of the story that's really interesting, under the Players Association plan, all players would have the right to opt out of this season if they wanted to.
Wow.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I can't imagine they're going to agree to that, because for all they know, half the guys are just like, yeah, I'm going to sit this one out.
Right.
Because it seems like that's
exactly
right. A lot of their, you know, take on it is that it's not worth it.
Hmm.
Man, I hope they figure it out, but it just keeps going back and forth. It
How close do you think they are? Or do
I
you
don't think
they
they're
still
close at all?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at how different those proposals are, I don't think they're close at all. I mean, yeah, they're talking about a 30-plus game difference, what the players' proposal is, you know, 30-plus more games. You know, if the owners are saying we're going to cut total salaries to $1.2 billion and the players say we want it to $2.8 billion, that's a lot of ground to cover.
And are the players proposing more games because they're saying, look, you'll make more money and that way you don't have to cut our salaries? Is that why they want to
Yeah, I think they're. I think basically what they're saying is this is a win-win for both sides if we play more games. We don't have to take as deep a pay cuts, and with more games, in theory, the players or the owners tend or should, in theory, would be inclined to make more money by having more dates at the gate.
Yeah.
Man, this Peloton All-Star ride doesn't sound so bad anymore.
Still sounds bad.
Right.
I'd rather watch these negotiations.
Sorry.
Thank you, Lance.
Thanks, Tim.
Your forecast brought to you by Ashley Home Store. This is home today, mid-80s, and we're in the 60s right now. Lance. You and me will never be the same.
Camila Cabello on Y98. It's The Wake Up with Jen, Tim, Kevin, and Lance. If you'd ever like to listen to us on your smart speaker, just tell that smart speaker to play Y98 St. Louis. You can also listen to us anywhere on the radio.com app, so get that nice and easy. Make sure you favorite Y98.
Some good news stories for you, and we're going to go on both ends of the spectrum today. So let's talk first about Latin America. It's the latest epicenter of coronavirus. And Brazil, the hardest hit country in the region. They have close to 500,000 confirmed cases of the virus in Latin America. And it's just not great right now. But there is a great story to come out of Brazil. And it involves a 5-month-old baby who they believe contracted coronavirus from a relative. Visiting a relative's home. So the parents of this little boy, Dom, noticed something sounded strange at the end of his breathing. He had this noise. So the doctor said, record a video. They did. As soon as they saw the video, they said, take him to the hospital immediately. They couldn't figure out exactly what was going on. Maybe he had a bacterial infection, but the medicine didn't work. He kept getting worse. They took him to a second hospital, and they realized that this he was 3 months old at the time. 3-month old baby had coronavirus. He spent more than 50 days in the hospital, 32 of them in an induced coma connected to a ventilator. And he just got to go home and will celebrate his 6-month birthday June 14th.
Mm.
But wow. Apparently Brazil has had...
I didn't realize he was a relative of yours celebrating a half birthday like that.
Brazil has had a lot of COVID-related deaths with babies.
Huh?
25 really? So far. Yeah. So that's a good story with Dom and his parents. Then we go to the other end of the spectrum. And another 100-year-old celebrating his 100th birthday. They're making people who just, like, are celebrating the fact that they made it to 100 feel really bad about themselves.
Oh, right. Like, if they didn't get it, you mean?
Exactly.
Well, no, I mean, turning 100 is just a feat unto itself, but now you have to feel like... You have to be like Mickey Nelson, who's walking 100 miles to celebrate his 100th birthday.
Mm.
I mean, man, when I get to 100, if I get to 100, when I get to 100, I just want to kick back and enjoy it. I don't want to have to walk 100 miles.
He's not in one straight stretch, right? I mean, how's he going about this?
He's just taking walks. He started in May. He was inspired again by war veteran Tom Moore over in England, who has raised more than $37 million, walking 100 laps around his garden. Well, Mickey said, I'm going to take it one step further. Forget 100 laps. Now, Tom did have hip surgery, but Mickey, a World War II veteran, and he's walking 100 miles through his neighborhood of Clark's Grove, Minnesota. He's raised over $42,000, which is all going to the Salvation Army's feeding and emergency programs. He said during the years of the Depression, they had soup lines and other ways for people to get food, and that always stood out to Mickey because he's been lucky to always have food on the table. So when everything happened, he thought, there are people going hungry, and I can do something about it.
Awesome.
100 miles.
Nice, Mickey.
He's calling it Walking to 100.
Oh.
Yeah.
I turned 40. I did almost nothing.
Bona Fide Bogus is coming up in 6 minutes on Y98. Get some steps in.
It's time once again for Bona Fide or Bogus on Y98.
Thank you, Billy. It is time for Bona Fide or Bogus, the segment that asks, is Tim lying? I make a statement and you guys weigh in on whether you think it is bona fide, true, or bogus, false. Sound good?
Yes. Sounds great.
It is June 1st, the first day of June, I like to call it. So today's topic is going to be the month of June in general. Here we go. Bona Fide or Bogus? June is named after Julius Caesar's youngest son, Junius Caesar.
Junius? That's bogus.
Bogus.
I'll be contrarian, bona fide.
It is bogus.
Bogus!
Julius and Junius.
I really like saying Junius Caesar, but here's the deal. Junius was a name used in ancient Rome. Some experts even think June was named after Lucius Junius Brutus, who lived 500 years before Julius Caesar, but experts agree it was probably named after Juno, the Roman goddess of marriage.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's all say it one more time. Junius.
Junius.
Bona fide or bogus, the two zodiac signs that fall in the month of June are Taurus and Leo.
I don't know.
You were born in June, you were either a Taurus or a Leo.
Sounds good.
Bona fide or bogus.
Bona fide.
What do you think, Lance?
Well, Jen, you ought to know because you have a son born in June.
And a husband.
I'm
going to
say...
born at the end of June.
Oh, well, she should have this.
Right.
She is putting Lance on it.
It's bogus.
Not going to let Lance steal her, copy her test answers. Oh, man.
Well, the end of June is Cancer, right?
Jen, you're right. It is bogus. If you were born in June, you're either a Cancer or a...
Gemini.
That is correct.
Okay.
Taurus is April or May, and Leo is July or August. Junius Caesar. Bona fide or bogus, June used to be the fourth month of the year, not the sixth.
Wait, what did you say? Say it again?
June used to be the fourth month of the year, not the sixth.
What? You can't just juggle them around.
I think that's bona fide.
Bona fide.
Oh, you both sound confident. So I'm going to say bogus.
It is bona fide.
Bona fide!
The months of January and February were eventually added to the Roman calendar. Before that, June was the fourth month of the year. That's why September, October, November, December, that's like 7, 8, 9, 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they added the first two, threw everything off.
Really?
Whose great idea was that, January and February? Though I am
Junius
glad.
Junius Caesar's.
Right.
Yeah, you're
right.
Had February not been added, I may never have been born, though, so thank God.
And if you had never taken Latin at Priory, we wouldn't have known some of those calendar fun facts.
Yeah, bust out some more Latin for us, Tim.
Yeah. Junius Caesar.
Junius Caesar. Bona fide or bogus, June bugs are beetles.
Oh.
Ooh. I'll say bona fide.
Me too.
Yeah, I'll say bona fide.
Yeah, bona fide. You guys are right.
Bona fide!
June beetles is another term for them, but it's not a type of bug. It is a term used for around 100 different types of beetles that show up in various places during late spring and early summer.
Let me just tell you, they don't have June bugs back in Buffalo, and the first time I saw one in the Midwest, I just about lost my stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, what the heck is this?
And someone's like, it's just a June bug. Welcome
yeah.
to the Midwest.
And I'm like, what do you mean it's just a June bug? That thing's going to, you know, eat me in my sleep.
They don't hurt anybody.
Oh my God. Like the Midwest grows way bigger bugs than
like how somebody that Tim mentioned there sounded like Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah.
It's just a germ bug.
That's sort of my voice for just about anybody now, I find. I go into
Hey Siri, order Chinese food.
Bonafide or bogus, finally. There are more summer days in September than in June.
Oh. Okay, hold on.
I have my answer, but I'm not going to let any copiers in.
As you should. Oh,
I'm going to say bonafide.
Yeah, bonafide. Yeah, I think there's only like nine summer days in June.
Are you guys
and
sure?
21 in September.
Sure you want to go with that answer?
No. Not when you say that.
I say bonafide.
Oh, all right then.
Lance is right. It's bonafide.
Yeah! Bonafide!
Summer starts June 20th and ends September 22nd. So September has 21 summer days and June only has 11.
That's what I said, 9 and 21. Did I do the wrong answer? For
no.
You, oh, got okay. You said 9, but it has 11.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I knew it was like...
Jen giving herself a close enough on that one. That's Bonafide or Bogus.
And that's another round of Bonafide or Bogus on Y98.
Man, it's not summer yet, but you have some beautiful summer weather again today. Your forecast brought to you by Ashley Home Store. This is home. 84 the high today. The weekend on Y98. It's the Wake Up with Jen, Tim, Kevin, and Lance. You can follow us on Instagram at The Wake Up Y98. Also, The Wake Up with Jen and Tim on Facebook. And don't forget to ask your smart speaker to play Y98 St. Louis. If you favorite us, it's easy to find, and we will we'll send you fun stuff.
Super fun. Super fun. Found a thing online, a forum, people discussing the drunkest musician that they've ever seen live. I think we've all probably had that experience. You buy a ticket, you're excited, and maybe a song or two in, you're like, uh-oh, somebody drank a little too much before the show, and this isn't going to go exactly as expected. And sometimes it turns into this strange, magical, unique experience that you were there to witness, and sometimes you just wish you had your money back. Have you guys had experiences with that at all?
Not personally, but there was a story. I can't remember who saw it here.
I mean, the only two people you've seen perform in the last, I would say, 18 years are Neil Diamond and Weird Al Yankovic.
Sober as can be. Not a lot of drinking going on there.
No. What were you going to say, though?
I was going to say somebody went and saw Bob Dylan. And apparently, I don't know if he fell asleep on the stage. Oh, man. How do you fall asleep on stage?
I saw him, and he wasn't drunk, but he was mumbling so much that my friend missed their favorite song. Because he kind of like changes up the arrangements, and I was like, this is your favorite song. He's like, no, it's not. Yeah, no, it is. He missed it.
What song was it?
All Along the Watchtower.
And they just didn't recognize
it? It was unrecognizable. I'm like, yeah, can't you hear the lyric? And he's like, no. Like all mumbles. Ugh. I always joke around about how when I met Hall & Oates backstage, name drop, one was drunk and one was mean. But that was more just like to be funny.
They both
wait,
were drunk.
You being funny or they were... You know what, Jen will really get a kick out. You be the mean one. No, I'll be the mean one. You be drunk.
I kind of just made some offhanded comment like, yeah, I met him backstage, and it was kind of a letdown because one was mean, and the other one might have been a little drunk. Oh. I was just joking.
Wow.
But we did talk to our son just over the weekend about a big...
That's hilarious.
We went to see Evan Dando from the Lemonheads.
Yeah.
Remember the Lemonheads?
Sure.
And we saw him at Mississippi Nights, and there were maybe 12 people. Because it was, you know, he had already been through like a bad run with drugs, and I don't know how he was holding up that night, but...
And he was drunk?
Sad. Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay. You covered a lot of...
I should have just said Tim Convey, right. The drunkest musician I've ever seen, Tim Convey.
Wow.
Are you sure the musicians
also
were...
not what we're talking about?
Yeah, were the musicians drunk or were you?
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
One time, not a single one of them, just I saw this drunk performer. One time I lied and told people guys were drunk backstage. They weren't really.
I know.
Another time I saw Evan Dando to not a lot of people. I don't know if he was drunk or not. Okay.
I think I'm dehydrated.
I was trying to come up with mine. Does it count if I was in the band with the drunk person? Because that was the drunkest I've ever seen somebody
seriously?
Perform.
Really?
Was it in Ludo?
Wow.
Yes. So we had a we've had a rotating cast of bassists, right?
Uh-huh.
This is one of my favorite ever. And we're in North Carolina. We're playing this market for the first time. And it was 2008, right? So there was radio was happening. So it was a bunch of, you'd go to the city and these people heard the song on the radio and they came out. So it was a lot of first impressions, I guess. And I had some friends who had never seen the band. And I was telling, so this new guy started playing bass with us. And I was like, his name's Tommy. And we joke about this all the time. And I'm like, oh, it's like a whole new band. We've never sounded so good. Like, where this is the best we've ever been.
Oh, no.
Tommy's playing bass. It's great. Tommy, let's say we were 10 shows into that tour. Tommy started getting real comfortable being the bassist in Ludo. And I'll never forget this. So we have a song. This venue is very unique that there's a extension to the stage in front of where you are. Typically you're on the edge of the stage, but this one there's like a little bit of a riser that's sort of in front of the stage. And Tommy, who was just the bass player, who wasn't even in the band, decided he was going to spend all his time on that riser in front of the guys who were actually in the band, including the lead singer. And so we have a song called Hum Along, and the bass line for Hum Along goes bum 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 bum. Like, that's how you know, so you're picking all those notes. And I'll never forget, I'm playing and I'm looking down at the keyboard, and instead of hearing that those notes being played like that, I just hear bum bum bum. So he was hitting it, but he wasn't doing all of it. And I look up to find him right in front of Andrew, the singer, and he's just playing the one, you know, every fourth note. And the reason he wasn't picking all of them is because with his other hand, he was just flexing his muscle. So he's standing in front of the singer, pulling every fourth note, and then just flexing his bicep in front of everybody.
Was he drinking during the show, or did he drink before the show, or both?
It was before. He had gotten on another band's bus, and let's just say the next day we had some long talks, which also included him reimbursing that band for the bottles that he took off their bus. He didn't steal them or anything. He just drank too much of them. Yes. And
was he with the band?
He got his act together a while. So we had rotating guys. Other guys came in after him, and but he's done it since. And I mean, it was just a one night thing that now we laugh right. about. But it was, again, those friends. I had like, I forget if it was family or what, but all these people, I was like, oh, this is the best we've ever. You're going to see the best Ludo show you've ever seen.
Oh,
and
no.
I mean, it was a mess. We laugh about it now, but that's the drunk. That's honestly any show I've seen. I've also seen, you know, other drunk bands perform, but the drunkest I've ever seen anyone on stage was, I was just a few inches away from him.
KYKY FM HD1 St. Louis is powered by the Bomarito Automotive.
It is Foodstuffs with me, Tim Convey, because it is 8:05. Foodstuffs, sponsored by Salt and Smoke. Check out the barbecue and bourbon at Salt and Smoke. All four locations, by the way, patios are open, and they're being really, really safe. So basically, it works just like the regular old carryout, only you can eat it on their patio. They're obviously sanitizing tables in between. They got drink stations set up. Nice and easy. Check out Salt and Smoke. Yeah. Saltandsmokestl.com.
That St. Charles patio.
Did the patio picnic Saturday at Hampton.
You did?
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, come on. The weather was gorgeous.
It was amazing. Delicious, Lance?
You know it.
It was delicious. I had a feeling, guys. I had
chicken
a feeling.
Wings, ribs, pickles.
can't beat
that. Did you get the deviled eggs?
Nope. Didn't get the deviled eggs.
Get them every time.
I usually get the pit beans every time.
You want to talk about foodstuffs, or should we just go down salt?
We just did.
Let's dive in here. Also, shout out to listeners in South America right now, as we speak.
Wow.
Yeah, which means there's a conference call going on in the next room.
Buenos dias.
And they can hear me talking. Buenos dias. There are a few things I hate, like I hate tuna. I just want you guys to know that.
What?
Do you guys like it?
I love tuna.
Yeah.
The tuna melt is having a huge resurgence in popularity.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like grilled cheese and tomato soup. It's like a comfort food.
With tuna.
Oh, it's up 30% since March.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
Well, because
things aren't bad enough.
Shelf stable, too. I think, you know, in March, people went out and bought stuff that they could stock in their pantries when everyone was running to the grocery store not knowing what was going to, you know, how long they were going to go before another trip to the grocery store. So, yeah.
But tuna melts, come on, guys.
What's wrong with a tuna melt?
Yeah.
It's gross.
Or just a regular tuna fish sandwich.
You're
like my husband. My husband hates tuna fish.
And I hate being around it. The whole, just, I can't. I've got no patience for it. But 30% up, so get ready for that. And now some good news. Costco is bringing back free samples this month.
Hey,
how's awesome. That going to work?
Very, very carefully. But they said they're coming sometime in the middle of June, and it's going to be a little different. They didn't give specifics, but it's not going to be where you just go up and pick up the sample with your fingers. They'll be very careful about it.
Okay. I trust them.
But that's good news. I mean, I wonder, that's such a draw to Costco, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are families that are just like, yeah, we're going to have brunch with our samples.
Get a whole meal just cruising around there.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we'll keep you posted on that. And then two videos, or two things you got to check out at Y98.com. If they're not up now, we'll put them up. Number one, this guy, there's a guy in quarantine who's trying to just break random world record. A lot of people are just like, what can we do? We'll try to break world records. So there's ones where it's like, how long can you keep a cup up in the air? There's guys just passing back and forth a basketball, like trying to set records. Well, this guy decided he wanted to drink a liter of lemon juice as quickly as it's ever been done.
Oh, just straight up lemon juice.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Talk about bitter beer face.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I mean, yeah, no sugar, no anything. It's just I watched the video. It's fascinating. Just the him getting mentally prepared for it, him doing it, the aftermath. He did not throw up, but said his stomach hurt for a full day. How long do you think he did it? A liter. Picture a liter of lemon juice. How long do you think it took him? He had to do it through a straw, by the way.
Through a straw?
Through a straw.
Yeah. Oh, that's even worse. How long did it take?
4 hours.
Yeah, right? I have no clue.
20 minutes.
Yeah, you'd have to take breaks.
Yeah.
Are you guys kidding me? The guy did it in 16 and a half seconds.
16 and a half seconds?
Wow.
I was going to say 2 minutes, but I thought you were going to say that I, like, way underbid.
No, he just did it. He got his game face on, and he went up, and he only beat the previous world record by, like, 0.15 seconds. Yeah, that was
He won't do it again, though.
Andre Ortloff. No, but this guy, this is impressive. This guy has broken over 100 world records, doing it all to promote STEM education.
Oh,
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, I mean, man, that is not one when I'm going through him. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do that. But he does it. It's impressive. And he just looks like, you know, somebody's dad. So we'll get that up at Y98.com. And then this I love. All right, I've got people in my life who the temperature of food is so incredibly important. People who, throughout drinking one cup of coffee, will re-microwave it. Throughout having a meal, will take two breaks in that meal to go put it back in the microwave.
Really?
Or get very upset if cold things aren't cold. I famously am not all that interested in the temperature of the food.
Will you eat, like, cold eggs?
Yeah, I don't care. Like, if it's easy to just throw stuff in the microwave, I'll do it, but it's by no means a necessity. If I'm taking something out of the refrigerator, even pizza, I don't care that much. Where are you guys on this?
I kind of fall in the middle.
Yeah,
there's some pizza that's great cold, but also there's some that it really needs to be warmed up. And I think there are certain foods that need to be warmed up, but I'm not going to, like, reheat it three times during a meal.
Right.
Like pasta, Chinese food, all of it. I don't care. I'll eat
cold pasta?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I love it.
Ugh.
Some pastas are cold.
I love how you're super judgy about the person who reheats three times, but you're just eating cold pasta.
I'm not super judgy. Different people fall into different places. That's where I fall. I don't care that much. But for some people, it's very important. There was a guy on a plane. He had a piece of pizza that I don't know if he was hanging on to it, or if it had just gotten cold or whatever. But he asked the flight attendants. They're up in the air. And he asked the flight attendants to reheat it. And they're like, no. And so he took matters into his own hands.
Oh, no.
And what would you do? What's your only option at that point? You're sitting in the plane.
Your only option is to eat it.
No. He took the pizza and held it up to the reading light that was above him. For like an extended period of time, just held it up as close as he could get in an attempt to... Because he could not eat the cold pizza. So there's pictures of it on that passenger shaming Instagram account, which is real funny. So you can check that out at y98.com. I mean... You got to do what you got to do.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Being resourceful, but also people's hands up there, especially with all that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
Hold my pizza up there.
No way.
I don't know. Yeah. That's Foodstuffs. If you missed anything, check out the podcast, y98.com, or wherever you get your podcast. Just look for The Wake Up with Jen and Tim.
Foodstuffs!
It's The Wake Up with Jen, Tim, Kevin, and Lance. That's Fitz in the Tantrums. If you're a fan, you can see them. I went up in the arch with them, and that's on our Instagram page. If you look at our Instagram TV at The Wake Up, Y98, you can see that. You can see a bunch of the cage matches, all kinds of fun stuff. So follow us on there at The Wake Up, Y98 on Instagram.
Today's a weird day. This is the first day that my husband is going back to work in the office. And this is the first full week, I guess, of summer vacation. I mean, I guess last week was too with Memorial Day, but yeah, summer looks a little bit different than it has before. Usually my kids are in summer camp because Ryan and I are both at work. I'm broadcasting from home. Tim's broadcasting from home. Lance is broadcasting from home. And my kids are now sitting watching TV because we don't really know what to do until, I get a break from work. But so this article came across, the biggest parenting mistakes that will always backfire. Luckily, having them sit in front of the TV is not on there. It's not in the top five. But pushing them too hard is. While it's good to push them in sports and in school, they say that pushing your kids too hard can actually erode their trust in you as a parent, especially if they have anxiety about certain things.
A soft push from behind is what they recommend. shouldn't now, push your kids.
With that said, not letting them make mistakes is also on the list of parenting mistakes. Making sure your child feels safe and you protect them from everything also is not great because they don't have the opportunity to learn how to bounce back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So and
I mean,
I assume there's something to letting them know they failed when they failed, right? I think, isn't that a thing that happens a lot where like they did something poorly and you're just like, that was okay. That was great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There
was something an athlete said about sports, like, you know, leave the coaching to the coach. And we always say at the end of a game, it doesn't matter if they won or lost, had a great game or had just a terrible game filled with errors. We say, it was fun watching you play. I can't remember what else. It's been a long time since we had a sporting event. Like, it was fun watching you play. Did you have fun? Because that's really...
That's really the important part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not important whether they won or lost, but you should tell them whether they won or lost, right?
They know. They can count.
Like 7-1 is means you lost. You lost pretty bad.
Trying to be their best friend When the lines get blurred again, children can start to lose respect for your authority as a parent. Being too loose with structure, I think that's especially in the summer. We tend to get a little bit looser, but it's okay to still have like a set bedtime and certain rules that apply during school and during the summer.
And it's always easier to start tough and then become lenient. It's harder to start lenient and become tough.
That's what Sarah says, not only for parenting, but I think like in her classroom too,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been, I mean...
And when it comes to Kevin.
Right.
Always. Entertainment Schmig up in 6 minutes on Y98. Do you ever feel all in the bones are good? Ooh.
Entertainment Schmig.
Now that's entertainment.
On The Wake Up with Jen and Tim.
And it's brought to you by Club Fitness. Club Fitness continues to lift local. We are stronger together. We will get through this together. It feels weird on a day like today to be doing Entertainment Schmig. Protests in at least 75 cities over the weekend. There have not been nationwide protests of this scale since Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated in 1968. Halsey, Ariana Grande, Nick Cannon, among the celebrities taking part in protests over the weekend. Lady Gaga canceled her Chromatica listening party with fans. Her new album came out on Friday, saying it didn't feel right with all of the protests taking part across the country. And if you look at any celebrities' Instagram or social media, you'll see their comments on all of the protests. But I did listen to Lady Gaga's album over the weekend, and there was a song where the lyrics kind of stood out, and a lot of people are talking about it. It's called Fun Tonight, and it sounded like a bad breakup. And of course, she had her ex-fiance, Christian Carino. If you watch the Lady Gaga documentary, he was in the background as she was getting ready for her Super Bowl performance. Well, they split, but she talks about how you love the paparazzi, love the fame, even though you know it causes me pain. I'm not okay, and if I scream, you walk away. When I'm sad, you just want to play. I've had enough. Why do I stay? She says it's about her battle.
Doesn't sound like fun tonight at all.
Right. She didn't mention him by name. She says the song is about her battle with depression, but a lot of people say it's about how she spoke out about her mental illness and her boyfriend just kind of didn't really care that much.
Ew.
Yeah.
Bad look for him, turns
yeah.
out.
Louis Capps. Tim, I know you want a story about your favorite Scottish singer, Louis Capaldi.
Yes, please.
He said that the songs on his second record, he's been writing a lot of them in quarantine, and they'll be about how girls don't like him. He said, I found that in my travels, you know, now that he's become famous and he's touring around the world, he said, I found that I'm equally repulsive to women halfway around the world as I am to them in my hometown, which is a heartwarming thing, he says.
All right, Capaldi, take it easy. My first record, people said, was kind of like Ed Sheeran's first record. So my second record will be like Ed Sheeran's second record. Like, that's the blueprint for Capaldi. He wears cargo shorts all the time, just like Sheeran.
He said, don't get me wrong, a lot of the new songs are still about how girls don't like me, but maybe an Australian girl doesn't like me as opposed to one from Glasgow. Hmm. Poor Louis Capps.
Can't wait to hear it.
Pam Anderson says she still wears her Baywatch bathing suit, and one of her sons said he has never seen a single episode of Baywatch.
Like, yeah, I wouldn't want to see my mom in Baywatch either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly could be worse, but yeah, I don't blame the kid.
Yeah, I don't either, I guess. I don't know that if I were Pam Anderson, I'd be like, here, let's sit down and look at my body of work here.
But it's hard, because if you've seen Hasselhoff in anything, your natural reaction is to go check out the back catalog. You know what I mean? It's hard to get a taste of catalog and not be like, I need to get my hands on everything this guy's done. He's spectacular. Does he sing?
Okay, we talked a couple weeks ago about Ryan Seacrest and that weird moment during the American Idol finale where his one eye looked larger than the other and he started slurring his words. And then the next day he took off from Live with Kelly and Ryan. They said no cause for alarm. The show is set to go on hiatus next month for a couple weeks. And they say there are people at ABC who are extremely worried that Ryan Seacrest is overdoing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's known for. I mean,
right.
That's the reputation he mm-hmm. has. I mean, he still does his daily radio. You know, he hosts the morning show. He does Idol. And then he's like, oh, yeah, but I still need this afternoon radio gig, which is, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it for years. Like, how many extra jobs does he really need? Never enough.
I'll take some of them, Seacrest, is what I'm trying to say. Make a little room. I'll do it. I'll put the suits on. I don't care.
A little St. Louis sad story for you. Andy Cohen, St. Louis's own, finally shared a story that's been really heavy on his heart for a while. He said he's been putting off sharing the news for as long as he could, but his dog Waka has had to find a new home.
Oh.
Because Waka, he's had Waka for, what did he say, 17 years? No, is that right? Apparently Waka was showing signs of aggression towards his son, Ben.
Oh.
There was an incident a few months ago. He consulted with numerous professionals and finally came to the conclusion that his home is not a good place for Waka. Oh. He thought something catastrophic could happen between Ben and Waka, and so he found a permanent home with another family.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it wouldn't have been 17 years because it was when Michael Waka was Rookie of the Year, which would have been 2014? Something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so 16 years.
Something. No.
15, maybe 16. Six.
No. 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, right. Maybe it was 7.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
really
sad. You're having a day, Jen. It's okay.
Right,
there's a lot going on.
We need a little remedial.
Do we need to call Seacrest?
Yeah. No.
Are you overworked?
Call your wife. I need Sarah to give me some summer tutoring. That's Entertainment Schmig. You can go back and listen to the 640 Schmig on the podcast where we talk about Kylie Jenner, no longer a billionaire. And she wasn't a billionaire to begin with. That you can find at Y98.com, the radio.com app, and wherever you download your favorite podcasts. But right now, Lance Hildebrand with traffic on 472 and 193 and still bad at math. Sorry, that one was not good. How's traffic? Nope.
Southbound 255.
Who comes alive at midnight? My mama doesn't trust him. He's only here for one thing, but
so am I. Y98, it's time for celebrity birthdays, and there's a lot, and a lot of good ones today for June 1st. Let's start off with the new Spider-Man. How old is Tom Holland?
This crazy car parked outside.
Oh, Mr. Parker.
What? What are you doing? Hey, I'm Peter.
Tony.
What are you doing here?
It's about time we met.
He's so good.
He's great.
He's so funny.
He was a great show. He voiced one of the guys in Spies in Disguise too, right? With Will Smith.
Yes.
Yeah, I like him.
25.
Yeah, I think under 30 for sure. 27.
26.
24.
Wow. It's crazy good.
Is he British or Australian?
He's British.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only thing.
Okay.
All right. How old is comedian Amy Schumer?
I finally just slept with my high school crush.
All right. Thank you. Thank
you. But now he like expects me to go to his graduation.
Yeah, I got real nervous after that first line.
Hi. Worse after the second one. Shimmer, 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 shimmer.
42.
37.
41.
39.
Man. She has that new Food Network show because her husband's a chef. Amy Schumer learns to cook. He, like, teaches her. Because I guess she's not a great chef.
All right, how old is singer Alanis Morissette?
And I'm here to remind you of a mess you left when you went away. It's not fair to deny me of the cross I bear that you can make. You ought to know.
I'm going to let Tim go because you ought to know how old she is.
One?
What? Get out of here.
I have no idea.
No.
Okay.
48.
Just for the record, you guessed 50. 3 years younger than me.
She's not 50 yet. Is she 50?
She's not 50. She's 46.
Oh, my God. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Boy, she was really young. When
yeah. I ended up mm-hmm. going a little bit higher because I was like, she's close to my age, but maybe she's not. Holy cow. Right. Yeah, she was really young.
How old is supermodel and America's Got Talent judge Heidi Klum?
Howie, I just had the worst nightmare ever.
I don't care. The show starts in 10 minutes. Let's go.
Okay. Thank goodness that was a dream.
Hey, Heidi.
Huh?
You left your lederhosen in the shower again.
That was all like other people than Heidi Klum.
I don't know.
Here's my question. Is she 50? I'm going to say 50 for Heidi Klum.
47.
47 is correct.
What?
Nice.
She's only a year older than Alanis Morissette?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And
how do I feel about that?
Finally.
Ironic.
Don't you think?
Ding.
How old is the great Morgan Freeman?
There must be a con like me in every prison in America. I'm the guy who can get it for you. Cigarettes, a bottle of brandy to celebrate your kid's high school graduation. Yes, sir. I'm a regular Sears and Roebuck.
Mm.
72. Thanks.
I might be way high on this, but I'm going to say 83.
83 is correct.
Yes!
What? Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I knew it was north of 80, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
How far north? One more, if you don't mind. St. Louis's own friend of the show, one of my favorites and someone I owe so much to. Happy birthday to Nikki Glaser.
Happy birthday.
Hey, Nikki.
Yeah, she and Schumer, same birthday.
How about that?
Wow.
Yeah. So happy birthday, Nikki, and anyone else out there celebrating birthday today.
Nikki celebrating in quarantine with her parents in St. Louis County.
She is.
Nice.
Loving it. I made her a little video yesterday. I can say it because she just, yeah. And it was, people, you do those videos, you shoot a video, and then they watch them all together and whatever. And mine was, I decorated my car with all this Nikki stuff. And I was like, man, I thought there was a parade and I was honking and no one was even home. Made your parents upset. Anyway, I regret sharing that. Happy birthday, Nikki.
That's all right. Go back to the podcast and listen to Who Did You See Drunk? And you won't feel... When you listen to me, you won't feel as bad about what you just said.
I'll never listen to that again.
Winning the blog around the neighborhood. Feeling blessed. Never stressed. Got that sunshine on my Sunday bed.
Oh, yeah. Surfaces on Y98. That's our song, Sunday Best. We played that a lot over the weekend at our house. It's The Wake Up with Jen, Tim, Kevin. Lance is finished until he gets back with Paul Cook this afternoon on Y98 to bring you the drive home. But there was a new survey out about, what do you call it, Tim?
Fashion. Fashion. A new survey asked people to name the most iconic fashion item of all time.
Ooh.
That's such a strange question.
Like, iconic. When I think fashion, I think maybe most memorable and bell bottoms. You know, that's definitely a fashion that, like, when I think of fashion, I think of trends and things that come and go. And that might not always be in style. And that's just, like, the one that sticks out to me.
That's number six on this list. When I think of fashion, I think of a beaded necklace I wore at a time in high school. It's these tiny little beads and a combination of green and purple beads that made it legitimately look like a grapevine around my neck.
Were they like those...
Fashion.
That shell, those shell necklaces?
Oh, yeah.
No. I didn't do... I thought I was so far above those, yet wore a beaded necklace that looked like grapes. But would just mercilessly ridicule anyone with a hookah shell necklace.
What about Swatch watches?
No, not... There's not brand name stuff on here.
Okay.
So, skinny jeans came in at number 10.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, Canadian tuxedo.
Oh,
jeans
just
on the bottom, jean jacket on top.
No, so denim jackets is on here.
Okay.
What about like...
No one in Canada is wearing that, by the way. I think people were just like, needed to come... There were different versions of what you call that, and you're like allowed to make fun of Canadians. It's fine for some reason. So someone's like, Canadian. It's like, they don't wear that up there.
No.
Skinny jeans on here. Skinny jeans in and out. I mean, boy, you know, we talked about it a bunch. You watch the Jordan documentary, of which the decade of the 90s was one of the biggest stars, and not a lot of skinny anything.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah,
so many
I know.
Pleats.
Right.
I was like laughing at the pleated pants.
Everything
tight,
was huge.
Tight waists, real baggy pants.
Mm-hmm.
Knee-high boots is on here. I mean, those never go out of style, right? They're always a statement piece. But they're never like cooler than they used to be, right?
I don't know.
All right, come on.
You're in fashion.
What about like the big shoulder pads from the 1980s?
Shoulder pads, it's like you're reading the list, Kevin. Shoulder pads.
You might be. What's next on the list, Kevin?
R8. Shoulder pads not in right now, is that correct? I associate them with the 80s. Have they been in since?
There have been a few items I've seen where they're back in. I think 80s are cool now.
When I think Ellen DeGeneres and Paula Poundstone back then, I think shoulder pads.
Yeah, for sure.
Then bell bottoms, which we covered. Kevin, go ahead. What do you think is next?
Doc Martens.
No, do those count as platform shoes? Because platform shoes are on here. Okay. Mm-hmm. What are platform shoes exactly?
When I think of platform shoes, I think of, do you remember the video for D-Light's Groove is in the Heart?
Yeah,
oh,
the goldfish in there.
Those big heels, and then... So the heel is big, but then where the ball of the foot is, that's also chunky. Those
are there a goldfish in there?
Maybe.
Those exist. Maybe. So those are platform shoes. So not just heels, but like the just gives you what my buddy Dave Gentoli calls a little pop of height. It's all his shoes. Give him a little pop of height.
He's got lifts. Does he have lifts in his shoes?
Is that what they're called? I don't know.
I don't know. There is a Seinfeld episode about lifts.
Little pop of height is what he calls them.
Is grunge or the grunge look on there or that, you know, lumberjack shirts?
No, you've really fallen off. You were doing
I feel like
wrong.
That is like anti-fashion. What about Kevin's cargo shorts? Are those on there?
No. Iconic.
Short shorts are on here.
Short shorts.
Shorts are tough. Man, shorts is a fashion thing that I legitimately... struggle with. Other things I'm kind of like, I got my thing and it's fine, but shorts where they should be, because I typically like the long shorts, but sometimes they look silly.
And you like to show off your calves because they're
yes. I like the idea of shorts year round, but how high up should they be? Because
wears short shorts? I wear short shorts.
The you know The degree to which my calves are exceptional, which they are, it does kind of end at my knees. My knees, not bad by any means, but they're just knees. So for shorts, it doesn't matter. As long as the calves are getting the sunlight and the people can see them, it's all right.
That was the other thing watching the Michael Jordan documentary. Like, basketball shorts have definitely changed too.
Oh, right.
Like, all those 90s fashions, like 90s pleated pants that everyone wore and 90s... basketball shorts were a little shorter.
Let's get back to my calves, though. Okay. If they're, and as you guys know, below the ankle, I'm not much to look at.
Right, right.
It's a tough thing to highlight, though, so I struggle with the shorts thing. Right now, I feel like medium shorts are in. Number two, guys, the little black dress.
Oh, LBD.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Fashion.
Yeah, I mean, it's versatile, for sure.
Is it iconic?
Yeah, because it never, if you get the right little black dress, it never goes out of style. No matter what the trends are, no matter what fashion is in, that stands the test of time. That should be number one, really. What's going to top that?
Iconic fashion items of all time.
The poodle skirt.
By a whole bunch of people. The miniskirt.
Oh.
This is basically a list of what you call statement pieces. Am I right? Where you don't want to wear two. If you're wearing two things on this list at once, you're in trouble. It's over the top, I would say.
What, like a mini skirt and knee
a denim
boots
jacket? Forget
much
about it.
The class of 2020 may not have gotten the typical prom graduate.
Dua Lipa with the best bass line in radio on Y98. It's The Wake Up with Jen, Tim, Kevin, and Lance.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Jen.
I listened to lots of Dua Lipa this weekend while I was painting the garage. Okay, weird coronavirus stories for you. People in England, while the country is still locked down, are trying to perform their own dental procedures.
Oh, man. I do not recommend that. But you'd be amazed how many people do that even not during lockdown.
Oh, jeez.
In England, I didn't know they did dental procedures at all over there.
Exactly, yes.
Too easy. Sorry.
I set it up. You knock it out of the park.
I know.
You have any Denmark jokes?
Here's the thing.
No.
Denmark. At amusement parks there, a roller coaster can only operate with one family per train. We talked about roller coasters opening, and what was it in Japan? You're not allowed to scream on the roller coaster because they said that could cause like particles to fly back into the face of someone behind you.
Yeah.
Denmark, one family per train.
That sounds awesome, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And dreams. Have you been having odd dreams? Because they say since coronavirus started, large number of people are having more unusual dreams than normal.
Yeah, I would like to share one. And yes, I'm a guy who has no interest in hearing people's dreams, but this one is worth sharing. They were making Quantum Leap, the movie. For some reason, my friend Jason McIntyre was directing. He's not a filmmaker in any way, shape, or form. And I went to him and I said, I want the part. I want to be Sam. And he said, Tim, Hollywood just doesn't care for you. And I didn't get the part.
Wow.
That was my dream.
How does it make you feel?
Not great. What did I ever do to Hollywood?
87% of people say they've had more unusual dreams since the pandemic started. That includes 29% of people who've had a Quantum Leap dream. No, 29% have had a dream about their ex.
What does Ziggy say?
What? Oh boy. 29% with a dream about their ex partner.
No, I don't have those. Ex-partners, that is.
The music you hear on Y98 is brought to you by Schnucks. Schnucks is now hiring temporary teammates. To apply, go to schnucks.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day.
Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.